I will be preaching a series of sermons coming from the sixth chapter of Ephesians. So those of you that's in our Bible study, you know that we have come up to the sixth chapter of Ephesians. So to help you with your study, you can take notes from my sermon. Today we will look at the sixth chapter of Ephesians. We will look at starting at verse number 1 through 4, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and you will find these words: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Today, very briefly, we will talk about what's up at home. What's up at home? At home. Not house, but home. When we look at our lesson text this morning, today we will deal with a subject that is vital to our society. The relationship of children and parent is very vital. We are living in a world where we are witnessing an alarming breakdown of life in the family. It's a family affair. We are faced with a total collapse of what we call civilized society. Lawlessness is rampant. There is a breakdown of discipline and in all of the fundamental units of life, marriage, and any relationship that we may have. Let me just caution you this morning, because this message is not just for married people with children. This message this morning is for everyone, whether you have children or not. If you are a child of God, whether you are married or not, if you are a child of God, you should be aware of the principles that God has laid out. Now, in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, we've dealt with marriage. We've dealt with the husband's relationship. We've dealt with the wife's relationship. It says, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And it talks about how the wife is to submit to her husband as he submits to God. And the husband is all about Christ. It's all about our relationship with Christ. But I'm going to clear up something this morning that a lot of you may have been pondering with for a long time. When we see this lesson text this morning, when Paul wrote this letter, there was some situations that was going on in the world, because he had to write this letter to the church at Ephesus, and some said it went on to all of the churches in Asia Minor, because there were some horrific things going on. There was in Rome a term, patra potestas, which is the father has absolute power. And if the father has absolute power, he could sell his children into slavery. He could make them work in the fields in chains. He could punish them, even inflict death upon them. He had the custody of to expose his children. In other words, they call this thing expose the child. When a child was born, they would lay the child at the father's feet. And the father would go and he would take a look at the child when they would lay the child at the father's feet. If the father would reach down and pick up the child, that means that he would accept the child. But if the father would turn his back and walk away, that meant to throw that child away. And so we see in antiquity, when a lot of boy babies was born, they decided to keep the boy babies, but a lot of the female babies were thrown away or sent into brothels and turned into prostitution. But we see that in most cases, the boy's child was kept. But whenever a child was born with a weakness, or whenever a child was born with a deformity, that child was drowned. It was an horrific way to live. So Paul decides to write a letter that goes against this horrific situation that we have in Rome. Pastra potestas means that father has absolute authority, and no one could challenge the father's authority. There was no law that could challenge that. But you see, if God liberated the woman, he super liberated the child. The word of God is a liberator. The word of God has liberated our society. Today, I would teach that God created the family before he created the church. And if the family is going to collapse, the entire society will also collapse. That's why it's so important that we preach this message today, because when we try to understand this text, we have to understand there's two key verses that we must understand when we look at this text. The one that I mentioned to you the other day is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess be filled with the Spirit." Whenever you read this about marriage and every you think, this scripture is so central, because it's telling everyone in the home not to be filled with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. You see, if the father is filled with the Spirit, then he can love his wife as Christ loved the church. If the wife is filled with the Spirit, she can submit to her husband as in the Lord. If the children are filled with the Spirit, they can obey their parents as it is in the Lord. Hallelujah, church. But first, you got to can't be drunk. Because when you're drunk, you wobble. Alcohol intoxicates you. Alcohol gives you a false promise. That's why Uncle Bubba was beat up so bad, because alcohol promised him that he could beat everybody, but he couldn't beat anybody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Everybody got an Uncle Bubba. Mine was Uncle Tina. My wife loved Uncle Tina. But when you're riding Uncle Tina's car, he'll pull over and say, "Look, I got to stop right there." He always kept a fifth under the hood of his car. And don't say nothing about Tina Turner, he would go to dancing. But the key to understanding this passage is that you are not to be drunk with wine, but you are to be filled with the Spirit in your house. You can't understand this verse if you don't understand 5:18. But also you can't understand it if you don't understand 5:21. That it said, submit yourselves one to the other. Hallelujah. Before you get to 5:22, where it says, "Wives, submit to your husband," you got to read 21. Yes. And so many preachers want to jump on that one and say, "Why?" No, but read before that. Amen. Are y'all with me? Amen. It says, submit one to the other. That's the word of God. But so we just can't lift up one verse just for our own self-grandizement. And that's when the husband say, "You know, the scripture said, Reverend Shannon, I heard him say, you're supposed to submit." Well, it said before that. Submit one to the other. And submitting only means to come under authority. Yeah. Submitting is yielding. And I know some of you are not as good of drivers as I am. Ask my wife how good a driver I am. So when you're coming down the expressway, now let me tell you something. You're not supposed to stop in the ramp. Now don't let me see you getting on the expressway stopping in the ramp. You're supposed to come on down, and the car see you coming. They're supposed to yield and let you on it. Nothing is supposed to stop. I see folks stopping in the ramp and belt, and I'm just blowing them. Submitting yourself one to the other. But it says in verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." First it says, "Children, obey your parents." Now remember that if you look at the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, it says it is written to the saints at Ephesus. But there are some things in here that we must understand. It says, children in Ephesus, it says, obey your parents. Now, it's letting us know that obey means that we come under their authority. Obey means that we listen to them. Obey means that we come under their instructions. But it's saying to the Christian child, you have a greater reason to obey because you are in the law. Yeah. You go beyond what the law says. Let me just back up here because let me just break this thing down, because there is the natural law. There are the laws that was given, the Ten Commandments, but now we are under grace. Now let me just explain the natural law, because it says, children, obey your parents, for this is right. Now, even before the Ten Commandments was written, and the Ten Commandments was written because there was some things in society that was always understood to be right. So it says, obey your parents, Christians, in the Lord, for this is right. But now, in the natural law, we understand before the Ten Commandments, before grace, we understand that there are some things that are just right. You don't even have to be in the church to know that there are some things that's just right. Children that are even not Christians understand that obeying your parents is the right thing to do. It's right. In the natural, it's right. Wives, even if your husbands are not Christians, it's right to obey husbands who are not Christians. That's how God designed this thing, as long as they're not trying to get you to do something sinful. In the natural. Y'all with me? I know y'all call me, Pastor, is it okay to obey my husband? He ain't in the church. Yeah, you married him. And I threw something out to the Sunday school class. They say, we are Christians. We took on the name of Christ. But some of us get married and don't want to take on the name of the husband. I better leave that one alone. Caused a little firestorm in the Bible study the other night. But anyway, it say, children, obey your parents, even natural, because you understand this is right. Even if you're in the church, if you're not in the church, but if you're in the church, you got a greater responsibility because you're in the Lord. You have an opportunity to witness to a fallen world. Children that are in the church, you have an opportunity to witness to other children who are not in the church, to let them know how it is to obey your parents. My son got this thing, he keeps changing his curfew. But every now and then we have to remind him, but every now and then we hear that garage door going up just at the moment of the curfew. And he liked to come in, he knew if he smiled at my wife, he can get anything he want. But anyway, he's a good child. But the point I'm making is that he has to obey. A lot of his friends sometimes may want to stay, but he got to go home. He got a home to go to. He got a mom and daddy to answer to. He got to set the example to the other children. He's in Milwaukee today because, we allow him to go places and do things. But the point of it is, he loves the Lord. He comes to church. He may fall asleep back there sometime because he got to go to work. I don't care what he got to do. If you're in my house, you got to go to church. But I'm just saying, children, you have to obey your parents. But if you're in the church, you got a greater responsibility. Wives, if you're married to somebody that's not a Christian, sure, you have to obey your husband because God has set this thing up. But it said obey them in the natural, because in the natural we have to obey them. Let me just explain something, because in the natural, animals obey their parents. I have yet to see a lion cub arguing with the parents. I watched the birds outside my house, the little birds. My wife and I saw a little bird the other day jumping across our driveway, waiting for the mother to come. And the mothers don't want you to mess with them baby birds either. But you see, even animals understand this natural law. Even animals don't even talk back to their parents. What's up with you? I've yet to see a cub just rah, 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 at the big lion. in the natural. That's a natural order of things in the natural world. Animals are taught to obey. They show, the parents show them love. And they respond in love. Animals do that. If animals can obey, why are you all huffed up? Mad. Talking back. Lion is more dangerous than you, and he don't even talk back, but he was a cub. Even little fish. You just go through all the animal kingdom, and you have never seen an animal talking back to the parents. Because it's natural to obey. That's in the natural. But it says, this is right. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, this is the core scripture of my message, because it says honor. Honor means that we have to put them at high esteem. But the way you honor your parents is that you honor them with obedience. You put them in high esteem, but you also honor them with obedience. Now, pay attention, because I know y'all didn't give me much time today, but I'm going to put this thing in a minute. It says, honor! And it says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment of promise. Now, the first four commandments deals with our relationship with God. This is the fifth commandment, that we should honor our mother and father. Now, but be put in here, this is the first commandment. It says the first commandment with a promise. Now, he said that because, not that all the commandments don't have a promise, but he emphasized this commandment because this is the one that if you neglect, society will collapse. If you don't get this, he impressed upon them that this is the first commandment that had promise to it, because if you don't honor your mother and father, he said, this is the first commandment of promise. I promise you that if you neglect to honor them, and he goes on down and tell you what's going to happen to you. First, I just told you that society is going to collapse. But if you don't honor them, if you don't put them at high esteem, if you don't respect them, if you don't show them love, he says, and that it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth. Disobedience to parents. I've gone into many prisons, and one of the core things in the prisons are children who was disobedient to their parents. There are a lot of young people that's getting shot down today, and one of the main things is that disobedience to parents. When we look at the book of Romans, when we see in verse 28, the first and the longest things that describe a society that's going against God, that long list of things, in that list is disobedient to parents. When we look at 2 Timothy, the third chapter, when we look at how the perilous times are going to come, and he lists all of these things that's going to be happening in perilous times, we will see that disobedience to parents. When we see lawlessness, when we see a world that's about to collapse in calamity, when we see that the first thing that we're going to see on the agenda is a society where the people are disobedient to their parents. If you want to live long, if you want to have a good life, if you want God to bless you, then you take care of your parents. You respect your parents. You do what your parents tell you to do because they love you. But if you want to shorten that life, if you want to live a short life, if you want to do things that where you won't be blessed, if you want to run amok in your life, then disobey your parents. The prison is full of them. I'm just preaching today. I'm just saying. Disobey them. The Bible says there are consequences and repercussions for disobeying your parents. If you love them, if you take care of them, God say, I will bless you. And then he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, let me just clear up something here, because I know a lot of people say, well, you know, they use that kind of language in antiquity. The father was the head of the household. But now I want you to understand that if the father abdicates his role, and today we are living in a matriarchal society. You heard Sister Love say she is the mother and the father in her house. So this is saying anyone who is in authority in that home, anyone who's in a position of discipline in that home, it says, do not provoke your children to wrath. And don't be mean to them. Don't talk down to them. But on the spiritual side, it said, don't beat up on them, because they ain't as holy as you. And because you know when you was that age, you wasn't that holy either. My wife sometimes says she don't like the way my son get his hair cut, but I remember my parents didn't like that big afro that I had either. So I have to tell her, leave that boy alone. When he start lacking all them girls, and he'll get a haircut. When he get a job and he want to look good, he'll get a haircut. And that's what he been doing. Come home, the other day he said, I got to go get my haircut. What? I'm just saying. You know, our children have to go through some of the stuff that we went through, but we can't provoke them to wrath. And the way you don't provoke them to wrath, you have to show them patience. You have to show them kindness. You have to show them love. You have to keep on going after them. And then it says, don't provoke them to wrath. But then it says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now pay attention. It didn't say, jake them up or jack them up. It says, bring them up. Y'all got that? Now I may not have heard of it. It said, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That nurturing is caring, being concerned about them. Admonition is instruction. But now pay attention, because it didn't say bring them up in the nurture and admonition about the Lord. It said bring them up in the nurture and admonition that has come from the Lord. Hallelujah. I just want to let you know something. When Jesus came to the earth, he came under the submission of his parents. He was God's son. But when he went to Jerusalem one time with his parents, and he went in the temple and he started teaching, and his parents got halfway home, and they realized that they didn't have Jesus with him anymore. So he went back to look for the boy, but the boy had to be caught between two opinions, because he said, why y'all looking for me? His brothers and sisters came in there and said, who is my brother? Who is my sister other than the ones that do the will of God? He said, well, one thing that you all got to understand. He said, I'm going back home with you, Mary and Joseph. I'm going back with you. But one thing you got to understand, I got to be about my father's business. That's what we got to be about. He says, Heavenly Father. You see, his Heavenly Father had some business for him. And I understand that what happened on Calvary's cross. You see what happened on Calvary's cross when they hung him on the cross. And Jesus looked down and he saw his mother, Mary. He said, look, he said to Mary, Mary, look, here's John. And he said, Mary, go with John. And he said, John, go with my mother. Now, what was Jesus? Why did he stop dying on the cross to tell his mother? He always called a woman. He never called a mother in the New Testament. If you check it out, he said, woman, behold John. And he said, John, behold her. Now, what had just happened? Jesus had just changed positions. Mary would no longer be his earthly mother. See, he had to go on now and be about his father's business. His biological mother who brought him in the world, now he was going to have to become the savior of the world. And being the savior of the world, he was going to have to become the savior of his own biological mother. Are you out there? He had to become the savior. I have to be now about my father's business. But I respect you, Mary. I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you for your yesterdays. I thank you for you when you broke me when I came into the world. I thank you for changing me. I thank you for looking after me. I thank you for teaching me how to walk. I thank you for Joseph for teaching me how to be a carpenter. But now I got to go and be about my father's business. And that has become the savior of the world. Hallelujah. My time is up. What's up at your home? Hallelujah, church. What's up at your home? God is calling you today out of a world of darkness into his marvelous light. Are you out there, church?